Is that what you said? Yeah, have a moment of silence. I want to welcome everybody watching online. I'm Miles, Pastor The Rock. Welcome. Let's say hello to someone, give them a hug, kiss, high five or something before you get it. Amen. Say hi. Keep saying hi. I got to clean my glasses. That's so I can see. What? Hi. How are you? Thank you. I can't see you. All I see is blur. Ah, there you go. How y'all doing today? Amen. We have some visitors here from out of town. Anybody? Anybody visiting from out of town? Where are you from? Where? Grass Valley. I've been there. I spoke at, is it Bear River High School? Bear something High School? I spoke there like 3-4 times. Yeah, been there. Where? Germany. And it's very good. And how many languages do you speak? Oh, well, you speak English right now. Very good. How do you say hello in German? Hello. 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 It's the same. How do you say how are you? How are you? Wie geht's dir? Huh? Gilly? Oh, I almost got it. Say it one more time. How are you? Wie? Gils? Gils? Wie geht's dir? Gavilkovic. I'm sorry, I can't get that one. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Yes. Hey, girl from Texas. How are we doing? Okay now, my girlfriend. What's your name? Sophia. Why are you so happy?
Jesus loves me.
Okay, there we go. There we go. I'm sorry?
And he brought me to you.
I'm speechless. And where in Texas are you from?
Austin.
I was there. I was there in Austin last year. It was nice. It was nice. Do you go to church in Austin?
Yes, sir.
And what church?
Shoreline.
Yes, I heard of Shoreline.
Hello.
I heard of The Stone. Who's the pastor of Shoreline?
Pastor Rocco.
Yes, I met him, and I also, I've been to a couple of churches there. Well, another church. Yes, I was there. It was very nice. We stayed by the water.
Purdy.
It's Purdy. Well, thank you very much for coming here today. You're welcome very much. Thank you. Anybody else? Are you the? Oh, you're the guy from Australia. Hey, how you doing? And are you here on vacation? Yes. Or are you here on holiday? Is that what they say? Yes. We're in Australia.
Sydney.
How long? How many days did it take you to get here?
One and a bit.
Does anybody here know what that means? What was it, like 17-hour flight to L.A.? Yeah. How do you say a long time in Australia? One and a bit? Yes. Who over here was raising their hand? Hello. Both of you or you? And where y'all from?
Vancouver.
Canada. Canada. Did they say A in all Canada? Oh, yeah. Hey. And what are y'all doing down here?
For a bit.
You get the bit thing. He's a bit. And y'all both moved down here together? Okay, let me tell you a little tip about San Diego. Be careful of the guys. You know what I'm saying? Be careful. Be careful. Yes. What's up? I get that. I know who you are. How are you, all your family? How's everybody doing? Very good, very good, very good. Very good, very good. God bless you. Welcome. Anybody else? Germany? Ah, ah. He can talk to you. German. Only thing I know in German is Dankeschön. Dankeschön, is that that means something, right? It means thank you. Yeah, what? Here you are. How do you say thank you in German? Thank you. That's what I just said. I have a communication problem here. Let's pray. Y'all excited for today? Y'all excited for that? Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for being good to us. And we pray you bless us tonight. And Lord, I pray you speak really clearly to us and the people watching online, that you would encourage them, that you would encourage all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word.
Word.
Oh, it's getting weak. Come on now. Say word. See your pen, pens, lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, first page of the Bible. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Is anybody having trouble finding the first page of the Bible? I was driving from San Diego to Los Angeles area. I was coming down a hill, five lanes. I was in the far left lane coming down a hill. And at the bottom of the hill, a couple 300 yards, 400 yards ahead of me, was a dog trying to cross the freeway. So I said to myself, Snoop Dogg ain't going to make it from over there to over here. So he comes across the other side of the freeway, comes across the median, and now he's in my lane, but he's still a couple hundred yards ahead of me. And it was a girl in the lane next to me driving a little Fiero, but she was also a couple hundred yards ahead of me where the dog was. The dog ran in front of a car. She slammed on her brakes. Smoke came from her tires, and she ran over the dog and killed the dog. So I kind of caught up to her because she almost stopped in the freeway because she just hit this dog, and she was all red crying, and she killed this dog, and she should have. She just killed the dog. And the reason she killed the dog is because she was looking at what was right in front of her. She wasn't able to see the big picture because she was down at the bottom of the hill. I was at the top of the hill able to see the big picture and saw the dog from on the other side. We talk about relationships, love, dating, sex, and all those related topics. If you are just focused on what's right in front of you, who's in front of you, your feelings, what you want now, you're going to get hurt. So we want to focus on the big picture as it pertains to relationships and sex. So over the next 6 weeks, this week included, we're going to talk about what love is. Next week, matter of fact, next week's sermon is called Perfect Love. We're going to talk about four kinds of love next week and how you know someone loves you. We're going to talk about how sex affects your brain, why sex is so good, how sexual immorality, whether it be sleeping around or pornography or whatever, can hinder your ability to have a relationship with somebody. Doesn't mean you can't have dating or even be married, but it can hinder your ability to bond with somebody. There are a lot of people who are married, but they're not bonded. And there are some wives who will be more sensitive to this than the men that are with their husband, but they feel their husband is not connected to them. There's a disconnect. We'll talk about why that is and why pornography and or sleeping around can rewire your brain where it prevents you from being able to bond to a person, which is what you were created to do, by the way. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have a young lady here in four Sundays from now, week five of this series. We're going to have a young lady here who was molested, and she's going to tell her story through a spoken word poem. I have to tell you, it is one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. And I'll remind you every week leading up to that, especially the week before, to get all the people you can to hear this woman. She's 20-something years old. She's going to blow your mind. Powerful. And so we're going to talk about all these Christian dating. We'll talk about that as well as to whatever degree you can do that. We're going to talk about all those things. My encouragement to you is to not only to come every week, but to bring your friends. Because especially after you hear what we're going to talk about today, we are all created for a relationship. Now, when we talk about relationship, we're not necessarily saying you have to be married. Because, you know, some people are not going to get married. Some people are called to being single. Some people are just not going to work out for whatever reason. But we're absolutely called to have relationships this way. And so we're going to start with just general relationships, and we'll move on to marriage and all that kind of dating and all that kind of stuff. But this is going to impact all of you, because this is what we were created for, is to have someone live in relationship with somebody. Okay, Genesis chapter 2. God created the heavens and the earth. And we won't get into a whole sermon on whether God created it or it was evolution or not. But what we do know is that there is a stars in the sky that are very very specifically organized. They come out like clockwork. The sun goes up, down like clockwork. The stars come out like clockwork. And you can set your watch to it, and you can navigate yourself around the world by the stars. They're very organized. And the Bible says God created it, and he said it was good. And it is. Bible says that God created the oceans and the land, and then he said it was good. He created the plants, and he said it was good. He created the creeping things, and I'm talking about the bugs, not the creep people, but the creeping things. Those girls from over there, I was talking about the creeps. You want to watch that? I'm talking about the creeps, okay? And then God created the land animals, the fish, the birds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And everything he created, he said was good. And there was only one thing that God created that he said was not good. That he created it, by the way, before sin. There's one thing he created before sin that he said, this is not good, and had to do with me and you. Read chapter 2, verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Basically, he put man in the garden to work. Unfortunately for you, that is not the one thing that God said was not good. Work is good. And by the way, God said work 6 days a week, not five. And rest one day. Show you right. So you get 2 days off. You should be praising God. You work only 5 days. 40 hours a week, you lazy lima bean. Verse 16. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat, you will die. And the Lord God said, it is not good. Everyone say, not good. That man should be alone. All the fellas say, amen. Now he feels that I knew I should have a woman. That's right. It's right there in the Bible. See, you need to be my girlfriend, because God said it's not good that I be alone, and you're the only girl to ever talk to me, so you got to be my girlfriend. When it says that man should not be alone, it's not talking about just a male person, but human beings should not live alone, because why did God create man in the first place? Now, some people would say that God created humans so they can worship him. As though God was sitting all by himself and needed someone to worship him. You know that God had the angels worshiping him long before he created you and me? He was already worshiped. Oh, that God needed man because God was lonely. God wasn't lonely. He had the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So why did he create us? He created us so we could enjoy what he has. Loving relationships. Look at number one in your notes. God designed or wired us to enjoy what he enjoys, loving relationships. I want you to think about this for a minute, because people think, oh, I'm on earth, I'm going to make money, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to have a family, and I'm just going to live my life, and then I'm going to die and miss the whole point. Or I'm going to have a career, I'm going to have a family, I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I'll do my God thing, and then I'm going to die. God says, wait a minute. There's something so much bigger than that. I want you to have and enjoy loving relationships like I enjoy. Well, who does God enjoy loving relationships with? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have had, before the foundations of the earth, a powerful relationship, the three of them. Now, first, let's acknowledge that there is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, let us make man, humans, in our image, us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, when you get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't get baptized in the name of angels or good people. You get baptized in the name of God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all were involved in creation. They were all involved in redemption, and they're all going to be involved in judgment. The Father sent the Son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his Son. And then the Son sent the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of truth that he's going to live inside of you. And so they had a relationship where they all had different functions. They were all God. The Holy Spirit, well, the Father's all God and Jesus is all God. We went through a whole series on that. And the Holy Spirit's God. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira, two people, lied to the Holy Spirit, and they say, you lied to God, and they dropped dead right there. The Holy Spirit's God as well. The only distinction they have, because they're all God, is how they relate to each other and the different roles that they have. But they're all God. It'd be like, think of a construction project. Someone's going to build a mall. Someone has a vision and a plan for the whole mall. And then a different person comes and signs a contract with the city to build the mall. And then a different person comes and actually builds the mall. Well, God the Father had the plan of salvation. He sent his Son to sign the contract with his blood. And then his Son died and rose from the dead and said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and execute the plan of salvation in your life. They have different roles. So you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all God, and they play different roles in our life, and they interact with each other differently. But their relationship together is the relationship God wants us to have with him and with each other. And so God says, I have the angels worshiping me, that's cool, and I have all the creatures on the earth doing their thing, but I want to create man in our image so man can enjoy what we have with each other and man can enjoy what we have with us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason this is so critical to understand is that we can miss all that if we get caught up in religion. I'm going to go sing a few songs, read the Bible, and that's it. No. It's a relationship where everywhere you go, with everybody you talk to, that you and God are hanging out going, God, how are we going to do this together? Everything, who you date, where you work, what you take at school, your career, everything. God, how are we going to do this together? He wants to be involved in everything in your life. Okay. So we'll look at some verses. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We're going to look at just three characteristics of their relationship. Just so we can kind of get an understanding of what we're talking about. John chapter 7, verse 16. Remember, the Father sent the Son, for God so loved the world, he sent his Son. And then the Son sent the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Son spoke, he spoke what the Father told him. And whenever the Spirit spoke, he spoke what the Spirit what the Son told him. And when the Spirit spoke, he told people what Jesus said, and all Jesus did was tell them what the Father said. They pointed each other, everybody back to each other, because it didn't matter because they were all God. Chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus is going to talk about that his doctrine and everything he's teaching is just what he got from the Father. Look what it says in John 7, verse 16. Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me, his Father. Doesn't mean he doesn't agree with it. Jesus is the Word, but he was modeling to us. It's all about the Father. It's all about the Father. Look at John chapter 16. Look at John chapter 16. First, we see Jesus speaking what the Father tells him. Now we're going to see the Holy Spirit speaking what Jesus tells him. Look at John chapter 16. John 16, verse 13. It says, Jesus says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, everyone say Spirit of truth. Or the Holy Spirit, it says, he will guide you in all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. In other words, Jesus is not saying, this is all about me. Holy Spirit's not about saying, this is all about me. It's all about the Son. It's all about the Father. Conversely, how do we live? I'm trying to get paid. I'm trying to get mine. You know I'm going to get mine, because it's all about us. That's backwards. Holy Spirit, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's about the Father, it's about the Son, it's about the Holy Spirit. They're all looking out for each other. They also glorify each other. Look at John chapter 17. Look at John chapter 17. Verse 1, Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to the heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. Father, glorify me so I could glorify you. It's all about you, God. I want to push it all back to you. So help me help you. Look what it says in verse 5. Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which we had before the world was. In other words, they had glory before the heavens were made. They didn't need us. They had it. They didn't need us. They had it. Look at John chapter 16, verse 14. John chapter 16, verse 14. Again, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. My point is that, imagine if you had a relationship where you always were diverting to somebody else. Listen, you should see how good they are. They're really smart. You should consider them. You should listen to their advice instead of, this is all about me. God says, I want you to be able to have relationships where you would acknowledge the good things in other people. You should go to people you know before you go to bed tonight or tomorrow and say, you know what I like about you? Everyone say that. You know what I like about you on three? 1, 2, 3. And then finish the sentence. You know what I like about you? And then finish the sentence. And just say something to them. Look what it says next. Look at John chapter 17, verse 22. Now, let me, before I read this, John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. When someone says, let's say the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's not the Lord's Prayer. We have come to name it that. But that's the Lord teaching us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, where the Lord actually prays, Jesus actually prays, is John 17. This is him praying. Okay? So here's part of his prayer. Here's what he's going to say in a nutshell. Father, the love that we share, I want them to share it. And I want them to be one with us like we are with each other. I want to share my glory with them, the glory that you share with me, I want to share it with them. And the oneness that we have, I want them to have that oneness. That's his prayer. His prayer is not, Lord, I pray that they worship, sing songs to us every day. That's not his prayer. His prayer is, I hope they go to church every week. That's not his prayer. His prayer is, I want to have oneness with all the people who believe us, and I want them to be where we are in oneness with us. Now, before I read this, let me say this. When a man and a woman get married, a woman comes down the aisle and a man comes down the aisle, and the Bible says, I now pronounce you man and wife, and the two shall become one. Marriage, and we're going to talk about this in 2 weeks, is a metaphor for salvation. That's what it's for, one of the reasons it's for. When a man and woman become one, the man represents the Lord and the woman represents the church. The woman is the bride. In the Bible, the church is the bride. And they become one. So when you see a man and his woman who are married, that should remind you of salvation. That's exactly what it's for. Not making this up. It's in the Bible. So when Jesus says, I want you to be one, it's the same thing what happens in marriage. I'm one with my wife. She's not physically here. We're one. Okay? We're one. So look what it says. Oh, by the way, y'all need to just come every week, please. Y'all going to miss some stuff. Luke says in verse 22, the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Everyone say one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want them to be one with us as we are one, and I want you to love them as you have loved me. Verse 24, Father, I desire that also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it. Why? That the love which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Father, the love you've given me, give it to them. This is the purpose of our existence, is to be one in relationship with God. Now, all of us in here got problems. Can I get amen? Some kind of problem. I mean, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a health problem, where your breath stinks, you can't, tic-tac don't work. I don't know, whatever your problem is. Okay. If you took all the problems in this room, put it over here, and you said, what's your solution? I need more money. I need an education. I need a house. I need three houses. Okay, all that's fine. I got one solution for all those problems. Oneness with God. Oneness with God. Does that mean you're going to get a house? Maybe, maybe not. But it will mean this. You'll be happy with whatever you get. Does that mean you're going to get a man with all his teeth? Maybe not. You'll just fall in love with gums. Oneness with God. That's why you were made. God made you in his image like a glove so he can put himself in it. That's why he made you in his image. So he can live inside of you and love you. That's it. And everything else is gravy on top of that. How much money you make, where you live, what you drive, all that stuff is going to fade away anyway. He made you so he can live inside of you. Next week, we're going to talk about perfect kind of love, perfect love, actually. And we're going to look at four kinds of love, primarily three. And the evolution, I use that word because the evolution is a word that means process. The evolution from one kind of love to another kind of love to the ultimate kind of love. Who? And we are so caught up in one kind of love, and we still got two more stages to go. God wants to live in you and grow you in and perfect your love. That's why. Relationship. Everyone say relationship. If you have issue with God, you can't have that kind of relationship. Because listen to this. The Father says to Jesus, Jesus, I need you to go down there and die. And they're going to beat you down. They're going to whip you. They're going to spit on you. They're going to betray you. They're going to lie to you. They're going to talk behind your back. And these are the very people you're dying for. Imagine Jesus said, I ain't going down there. That's going to hurt, God. Why are you going to do that to me? I ain't having it. We'd have no hope today. You know what Jesus said? I would gladly do it. Because I want them so bad to have what we have. I'm going to do it. And the night he was arrested, you know what he said to the Father? Father, is there any other way? Because this thing is going to be hurting. And the Father said, no, you got to do it. And he says, okay, Father, I'll do it. I'll do it. And then he says to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, here's your job. I'm going to send you down there and nobody's going to know your name. They're never going to see you. They're going to think you're a bird, a dove. And you're going to live in all their hearts, and you're going to talk to them every day, and they're going to go, they're not even going to listen to you. They're going to do their own thing. And they're going to drag you around all these dumb mistakes, and you're going to be talking to them all day long, and they're thinking, I don't know what God's voice is. I don't know what God's voice is. And you're going to feel like you're wasting your time. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? I'll go do it. And Holy Spirit, I only want you to do what the Son tells you. No problem. Son, I only want you to do what I tell you. No problem. And guess what, son? If you go die, I'm going to glorify you. Great. We're all good. Anybody got a problem? No, we're all good. Imagine if you have relationships like that. So the Jesus says, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to fill you with so much love that I hope that you will trust me. This is Jesus talking. So you can share in this relationship that we have. That's why you and I are alive. Number two. If God commanded you to love, he must have created you to love and designed you to love. Number two, our design or wiring actively seeks to live in loving relationships. We seek out what God created us every day. Everyone say every day.
Every
day. Now, oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's say it one more time. Say every day. Very good. We all have different body systems. We have a system is a series of functions that work together to accomplish something. So a digestive system, part of your digestive system are your teeth, your tongue, your taste buds, your saliva in your mouth. Your saliva in your mouth is not just spit. It actually digests food. I'm sure you all know that. That's why you should chew your food till it's a liquid so the digestion can start in your mouth. A lot of times if you have burping, it's because you haven't chewed it good enough. Your throat, your stomach, your large intestine, small intestine, all the acids in your stomach, the mucous membrane in your stomach that protects your stomach from the acid that goes in your stomach to chew up the food. All that's part of your digestive system, your nerves, your blood, oxygen, all part of your digestive system. You have a digestive system. You have a circulatory system. You have a nervous system. You have a reproductive system. You have a muscular system. You have a skeletal system. You have a respiratory system. You have an endocrine system. Your endocrine system, all your hormones, all these different systems. But then you have brain systems. And by the way, these systems are very complicated. You have brain systems. These are fascinating. One brain system is a pleasure system. Whew, we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. You have your fear system. You have tranquility system. You have your panic system. You have your empathy-sympathy system. There's a thing in your brain called mirror. Everyone say mirror, like a mirror? Mirror, like when you look in a mirror, say mirror.
Mirror.
Take a deep breath in. Say mirror.
Mirror.
Neurons.
Mirror.
Who? Those bad boys are the bomb. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You can Google it if you want, but mirror neurons. You have learning system. You have an emotional regulation system. You have rage, anger system. Some of y'all are wound up a little bit too tight. Stress emergency system. You have a sleep system. We all got that down. By the way, sleep system is not just your ability to sleep. That's just the beginning of it. You ever hear that song, Freaks Come Out at Night? Freaks Come Out at Night. Y'all know that song? How many of y'all don't know that song? y'all youngins, y'all don't know nothing. It's a song long back in when was it, the 70s? 70s, 80s, it was called Freaks Come Out at Night, okay? It's true, you know, at night times, there are freaky people out there. Go to bed, go in your house, okay? For real. You know that at night, there are animals, nocturnal animals, that come out that are asleep during the day, like bats and owls, et cetera. There's a lot of them. Y'all know that, right? Y'all do know that, right? Very good. So when you sleep at night, your brain actually goes through all these functions of repairing and rejuvenating your body. You think, I rested so I feel better, but you don't really appreciate functions, systems that turn on at night when you're asleep that are not on during the day. That's why when you see people who work night shift, they look really tired and worn down because their body has not been able to run those systems at night during sleep that they're supposed to. These are very programmed, complicated, involved, ingeniously created by the Father and given you. Immune system, pain management system, creativity problem system, self-repair system, neuroplasty, your cells can repair themselves. Comfort system, you have comfort hormones. One of them is dopamine. You ever hear dopamine? Everyone say dopamine. Dopamine is a pleasure drug. It's going to be a lot of our messages in this series when we talk about dopamine. It makes you feel good. So right now, your dopamine should be really high. Okay. And now, if you're like, I ain't happy, I want to get out of here. Well, then what you need to do is meditate on being outside, and then your dopamine will go up. You have play system, and you have relationship bonding system. This is what I want to talk about. Your relationship bonding system asks two questions all the time. Am I lovable? And is love available to me? Or am I accepted by this group of people right now? Do I feel comfortable? Do I feel loved? Do I feel wanted? And when you're a little kid, you are asking yourself this question without even realizing it. And when you're a little kid, you answer those two questions. And when you answer those two questions without you even realizing it, you develop an attachment, what they call, it's called attachment theory, but you develop a way of developing relationships. You come to an agreement that in order for me to develop a relationship, I have to act this way. This is how I'm going to develop a relationship with guys and girls, etc. I have to do these things. And often there's a sense of falseness to it because you are mechanically saying, I have to do this to receive the love that I desperately need and to make sure I feel comfortable with these people or with this person. And you develop a pattern of how to develop relationships. Now, however you develop those relationships with people, you will go through the same game with God. You will go to develop a relationship the same way. You have the same expectation on God as you do people. Because your relationship system says, here's how you develop a relationship. That's all you know. And so when it comes to God, you're going to do the same thing with God because that's all you know. And so your relationship system is shaped. And by the way, it can be relearned and you can improve on it as you learn about yourself and as you learn about people. But you have to understand, every single one of us in this room has a relationship system and it works in a very specific way. And so when you're with people, you're asking, am I lovable? Because we all want to be loved. Why? Because we are created to be loved. And we were created to love. And we can't live without it. People cannot live without people. When God said it's not good that man should be alone, people left to themselves will die. If you go to the hospital to get a lung, you want a lung transplant. They will take your information, put you through a lot of tests, blah, 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 blah. Let's say you really need a lung and you're going to die. They will not give you that lung unless you pass certain tests. For example, can you afford the medicine? Because if you can't afford the medicine that you're going to need to support that lung, they will not give you the lung because you're going to die and the lung is wasted because they don't have lungs sitting around. They'll say, are you going to smoke? Because if you're going to smoke and ruin that lung, we're not going to give it to you and we will let you die because you're going to die anyway and we're going to give the lung to someone else who will take care of it. Another question they will ask you is, do you have a community of people who love you? Do you have relationships? Because if you don't have relationships, you're going to die. See, people can't live without people. That's when God said, man, it's not good that man be alone. You can have a dog that lives in your house, never sees another dog in its life. But when you come home at night, it's all happy. People can't do that. If you came home to a bunch of dogs and that's all that you ever saw all your life, you'd be walking around. You wouldn't know. You'd go crazy. Matter of fact, a study was done, University of Chicago, they said if you have five or more close friends, everyone say five, you will be 50% happier. Not money. Not things. That stuff may be temporary. Close friends. People who got your back, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hey, I want to encourage you. Hey, how you doing? I have a friend since 16. He's been my best friend in high school. I've been in California 29 years. It'll be 30 years in May. And he's never come to see me. But he's my friend. It don't matter. Every time I talk to him, every time. Yo, man, when you gonna come see me? I've been here almost 30 years. Oh, man, you know I won't get out there, man. I just got stuff going. I said, you just got stuff going on for 3 decades. But you know what? He is my friend. No, I don't ever expect him to come here. He's never been here. We went to high school. We were boys from high school. Never been here. Never seen. Never. Football, I was on the Chargers. Didn't come out to see a football game. Nothing. But he's my friend. I call him up. I know he's got my back. 5 people like that, you'll be happier. People who volunteer regularly, they have lower levels of depression, better mental health, lower anxiety, increased levels of happiness, increased levels of mood, better self-esteem. Why? Because volunteering is loving and receiving love. Ooh, it's built in. Oh, I'm going to cut your grass. Hey, I'm doing you a favor. Hey, thank you. Wow, I like that. That makes me feel good. Why? Relationship. Love. Relationship. Now, we all have different kinds of relationships. It's business relationship, where we are in a relationship just to complete this task. Do this job. Do this project. It's a little distant. Then you have friend relationship, where you have more emotional attachment. And I'm just talking about friendship. I'm not talking about dating at all. And emotional attachment. And some people can connect real quick with people. Like, I meet people, and I instantly feel like, I just talk to people like I've known them my whole life. I'm like, yes, let's just be friends right now. And I'll talk to people like I meet them on a sidewalk or whatever, and I'm just talking to them like I've known them my whole life. And my wife, who's opposite of me, she's more reserved, just different. Not one's better or worse, right or wrong. Just people are different. Some people, matter of fact, how many of y'all? How many of y'all kind of reserved? You kind of reserved, very good. And how many of y'all just like, go for it, okay? Great. Security. One's not right, one's not wrong. But in all relationships, we are in all our own way. Is this safe? Is this relationship safe? I'll be talking to somebody at church, and my wife is doing that for me. I'll be talking to some people, and she's over there with her finger over her mouth like this. Monitoring what's going on with me. We get home, like this will happen tonight. I'll get home. When I get home, I'm all wired. I'm talking about this, and she's just not saying anything, going out there. She's not even looking at me, right? And I'm following around the kitchen. Guess what happened? This is what happened. And she'll go, okay. And then she'll do this. I'm like, uh-oh. She'll say, after the 10 o'clock service this morning, the girl with the red thing in her hair. My eyes are going all over the place. Oh, why? Why? I don't remember. You remember, she had the red thing in her hair. Like what? She says, I don't trust her. You need to check that. All the ladies in the house say hey. Damn, y'all know. Y'all know. She got her radar on. So you have business extended relationship, then you have friendship, and then you have intimate relationships. And the minute sex is involved, changes everything. We will talk about why in 2 weeks. But we will talk about why. You also have spiritual systems. Potentially, you have a deep, these are suggested systems in the Bible that suggested they're not necessarily there. They could be there. Deep love system. We're going to talk about love next week, and we're going to talk about 3 or 4 levels of love. Forgiveness system. Your forgiveness system is your ability to forgive and your desire to forgive. You ever have someone do something bad to you and you're mad at them, and then you're like, I'm going to be mad. As soon as you see them, you can't be mad. But you want to be mad because they dogged you out, and they go, I'm sorry. And you're like, I want to be mad. Don't be saying sorry. Don't be laughing, making me laugh. You're like, I don't want to be friendly right now. I want to be mad. I got to say something really bad right now. And you can't. Can I get amen? Amen. Because your forgiveness system just took over. And you're like, God, I want to be mad. And God says, I forgave you. Right then, oh, man. Come on, God. You have a forgiveness system. You have a contemplative system and meditation system that enables you to worship and pray. You should never take these systems for granted. Never think that these systems that do exist were not given to you for a very specific reason. Why? To enable you to have a relationship. That's why. There was a turtle out in the forest. And every day for 3 weeks, this turtle climbed this tree and went out onto the edge of a branch, flapped his legs and wings, tried to fly, and fell to the ground. Every day for 3 weeks. This is not true, but just follow the story. Every day for 3 weeks, he climbs up, walks out to the end of the branch, and then he goes, and then he falls to the ground. He tries to fly, and he can't. He just falls to the ground. And every day that he does this, these two birds fly, and they land on a branch, and look at him and go, watch this. And he, boom, falls to the ground, boom, falls to the ground, boom, falls. And after 3 weeks, one bird turns to the other bird and says, don't you think it's about time you told him that he was adopted? How many of you are wondering what is the point? Here's the point. Birds, if they could think like we think, they probably would say, I wonder why they don't fly. I wonder why they don't just do this, and instead of driving around the block, they just don't fly over the houses and go straight. Why do they get in a plane? Why do you have cars? Because we can fly, why can't you fly? God did not give us the ability to fly. He gave you the ability to forgive, to think, to reason, to say sorry, to love, to encourage, for a very specific reason. And he didn't give us an ability to fly. That has nothing to do with our relationship, but that's something he didn't give us. But the things that he did give us are for a very specific reason. We don't just have them just because we're human. He designed them so we can do and fulfill what he created us to do, which is to live in relationship and encourage people. This is my daughter, and I tell my daughter, hey, what's up? I love my daughter very much. Hi. She's all freaked out right now. Relationship. Give somebody a high five. Everyone say, seeking system. You and I have been hardwired in our brain since we are born to seek God. You and I have been hardwired in our brain since we were born to seek God. I'm going to read some excerpts from different books from secular researchers about naturalistic spirituality. And what that means to the in our terms, naturalistic means in your brain, hardwired nerves, spirituality, that it's in your brain. It's not like there's a spirit over there and, you know, well, if I get it, then I'm spiritual. No. That not only do you have a soul, not only is there an invisible aspect of who you are hardwired in your brain to seek and think about God. Whether you like it or not. Let me read a few to you. Anna Maria Rizzuto, who is an Argentine psychoanalyst, she writes, developmentally, therefore, all individuals in any culture must find a personal manner or way of partaking in cultural beliefs about spiritual and religious narratives, or create private beliefs capable of sustaining their understanding of who they are in the world. In other words, everybody in the world, based on her research, either adopts a religious belief in their culture or they create their own belief system to explain who they are and how they fit in the world. For example, you could say to someone, you believe in God? And they'll say, oh yeah, I go to this church. Oh yeah, I did this or I did this. Or they'll say this, I don't believe in organized religion. I have my own. That's because their brain is programmed, wired to seek God, and they can't avoid it. So at some point, they have to satisfy that desire that God put in their brain. This is a secular thing. And then it says, this task is psychologically unavoidable. You cannot avoid this. Because of the human psyche, even atheists will say, there is no God. So they fight to eliminate what they know they have to eliminate. I am not fighting to eliminate and being preoccupied to eliminate aliens from San Diego because there are no aliens. And if they were, if they're not messing with me, they could stay. But if you're fighting all day long and you are preoccupied with eliminating something that doesn't exist, you're wasting your time because it doesn't exist. So if I'm an atheist and God doesn't exist, why bother? Because it doesn't exist, so it doesn't matter. They know it exists. This task is psychologically unavoidable because the human psyche can only exist and subsist in meaningful context of other psyches, relationship, and its surrounding physical universe. You can't exist by yourself. God created you to understand and seek your place in the world and a relationship with God. Jonathan Haidt, a professor of social psychology at the University of Virginia, wrote a book with Keltner, his last name Keltner, Approaching Awe is the name. It says, further emerging empirical evidence from research in social and developmental psychology are pointing to the idea of naturalistic spirituality. Everyone say naturalistic spirituality. Jonathan Haidt's research on moral emotions, particular awe and elevation, connected to spiritual and religious experience, defines these emotions as primordial. They've been there from the beginning and concludes that they are relatively hardwired in your brain. Pre-culture, not culture, didn't put it there, God put it there, sets of responses that were shaped by evolution and evolution of relationships and built into the central peripheral nervous system in human species. Another book, Spirituality as Natural Phenomena by Hay and Socha, interviewed children who had no connection with any religious institution and had not yet been socialized into secular ways of interpreting reality. Little kids didn't understand religion, didn't understand their social environment. Not only did they find support for the naturalistic spirituality, but contrary to expectation, they found a relational, everyone say relational. Relational consciousness connected to their spiritual experience. In other words, these kids who had no religious experience and had no socialization, they understood spiritual things, and they understood spiritual things in the context of relationship. You ever notice little kids out of nowhere will just pray? Never been to church. Talked to a young lady today, 28 years old, has a 7-year-old daughter. She said, the 28-year-old said, I didn't go to church. I had a terrible childhood, and she did. And all of a sudden, when my daughter was like 4 or 3, she started taking me to church out of the blue. And I started going. That's what this is. There's no God. And you know what kids will tell you? They'll tell you all about God. Have never read the Bible, and they'll tell you how loving he is and how trusting he is, how you just need to pray. And you're like, how do you know this? I just know. No one just knows nothing. Justin Barrett, who is a senior researcher for the Center of Anthropology and Mind and the Institute of Cognitive and Evolutionary Anthropology at Oxford University, that brother knows some stuff. I'm telling you, I don't even want to touch the paper. I'm like, ooh. He further confirmed this early spiritual awareness through his cross-cultural research within children as young as 3 years old, in which he found anthropomorphic attributions, human attributes that these kids possess to supernatural powers in the context of relational spirituality. In summary, our seeking system is experienced in us as restlessness, longing, or an unformed need or thirst. It is both conscious and unconscious process that has roots in development, leading to an object-seeking relationship with a transcendent one. All of us, whether you like it or not, every person you talk to has this going on in their head and in their heart. They'll tell you, I have my own religion. They'll tell you, I have my own deal. Me and God are cool. They rarely will they tell you. And even if they say it doesn't exist, they know. That's why they get mad when you talk about it. Why? God put it in them. God says, I'm creating you for a relationship. I'm going to wire you for a relationship. I'm going to have you seek relationship. I'm going to have you fight to be approved of. And even though we shouldn't have to fight, but because of stuff in our life happens, we have all these games we play with people trying to get love, trying to get acceptance, trying to have people affirm who we are. We cannot get around it. Why? Because God created us to have relationship. I was watching March of the Penguins. Anyone see March of the Penguins? How many of you never saw March of the Penguins? I know I brought this up before. Oh, please watch this. Every year, these penguins, 1,000 penguins, walk 70 miles twenty-something days. No food. They walk 70 miles to this patch of ice where they mate and have a baby and lay an egg. The mother lays the egg and she rolls the egg onto the father's feet. If the egg rolls on the ice, the egg dies. The egg goes onto the father's feet. His stomach sits on the egg to keep the egg warm for months. And thousands of these guys will stand there, 100 mile an hour wind, 50 below, while the mother walks the 70 miles back to the ocean to feed. She hasn't eaten for 4 months. He sits there with this egg on his feet, waiting for her to walk 70 miles, eat, and then come back. Now, if the egg falls on the ice, the egg dies. The wind's blowing at 100 miles an hour. He's standing there with that egg for over a month. The mother, if the mother starves to death, she ain't coming back. If the mother gets eaten by a predator in the ocean, she ain't coming back. And the mother goes out and feeds, and then she walks 70 miles back. He's still sitting there. Now, while he's sitting there, as the 100 mile an hour wind's blowing, and there's 1,000 of these penguins out there all fighting, these dads stand there in one spot, holding this egg. If the egg falls out, boom, baby dies. If the egg happens to hatch, the father has one meal right in the crease of his throat. He feeds the baby. He hasn't eaten for months. He's about dead. The mother has to survive the walk back to the ocean, survive her feeding, and survive the walk back, hopefully that the egg didn't roll on the ice and die, hopefully now that the baby hatched, that a predator didn't come to eat the baby, and then that one meal, and that father, he's about on the edge of his life, she comes back, and she has to find her husband amidst all these penguins. She's going, and they start calling, where's my man, where's my man? He's like, I'm over here, come on, this baby's hungry, I got to go to the ocean, and they hook up. They do the little love thing, and then she feeds the baby, and then the dad goes back to the ocean because he hasn't eaten. He's about starved. He walks back, feeds. Hopefully he doesn't get eaten. Then he walks back. Sometimes the eggs fall on the ice and the mother comes back to a dead baby. Sometimes the egg hatches, but the mother never comes back because she dies. And the baby dies of starvation. Sometimes the baby hatches, the mother comes back, feeds the baby, and then a bird comes down and kills the baby. But if they survive all of that, they all walk back to the ocean, and then the baby goes in the ocean and never sees the parents again. And I'm like, what? I was like, that's so sorry. You know why that tripped me out? It's because we are a relationship. Can you imagine just, I'm never going to see you again? That ain't right. It ain't right. You do all that for somebody? Why? Because God created us for a relationship. Animals can never see their family. People, we can't do that. In animal kingdom, you can have a baby and the baby's independent at birth. As soon as they're born, they're on their own. They support themselves at birth. Can you imagine humans like that? As soon as you have a baby in the hospital, the baby goes, Mom, I got the bill. Don't worry about it. Least I can do. 9 months, hey, I got it. It's on me. Heal up. Number three, God himself is the ultimate satisfaction of our search for loving relationships. God himself is the ultimate satisfaction. Turn to the fifth book at the end of the Bible, 1 John. When I met my wife, we dated 4 years. The first 4 years of our relationship was a mess. It was all my children, As the World Turns, Dynasty. For all y'all who remember Dynasty. What are the soap operas they have now? General Hospital. All those combined. And it was all my fault. And I had to come to a point in my life where I realized I needed to love her better than I could, and I needed God for that. We all have relationships to whatever degree we have them, but they are not to the degree we were created for, whether it be friend or intimate or whatever, that they all can be taken to another level if we love with God's love, God's way, and enjoy relationships as he enjoys with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 4, 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God not only loves, God not only gives love, God is love. God can't do anything contrary to love. When he made us out of love. And think about it. He says, "I'm going to make you like me, and I'm going to put you on an earth that has all these cool things. Weather, animals, beaches, mountains, snow. And I want you to enjoy it. And I want to enjoy it with you." That is the sum of it. It's really that simple. We messed it up. Sin messed it up. Made it all complicated. And if we're going to get back to being able to love like he wants us to love. Remember, say to somebody tonight, tomorrow, "You know what I like about you?" And leave it at that. You don't need any credit. It's not about you. It's about them. Where you can love like God wants you to love and have relationships. And by the way, when we get into the dating thing, all this stuff still applies. Stuff still applies. That you're going to love somebody just because of them, not anything you get. We'll talk more about that next week. But you can't get to that point unless you have the love of God in you. Other than that, you're out here by yourself trying to fend for life, trying to figure all this out by yourself, trying to manipulate relationships instead of saying, "Lord, I want you to do it in me, and I want you to do it through me." So right now, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you know us, and we thank you that you created us to love. What an awesome, awesome privilege it is to be able to have a relationship with you like you have with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I pray we would take advantage of it. Lord, there are people here today that need you in their life. They want to have pure relationships without any strings attached, just love. They want to be able to be themselves, the self that you created, their personality, without worrying about what people are going to think. If you would like to receive the love of God in your life, the forgiveness of God, the encouragement of God, the assurance of God, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, "Dear God, I want to love you, and I want to be loved by you, your way. And I want to love other people, your way. Lord, thank you that you created me in your image. You are so good to me. I surrender my burden to you. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you." As eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing, you are acknowledging publicly, "Yes, I am giving my life to God." Yes, I'm receiving the love of God, and I'm receiving the encouragement of God. So eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand to your feet, stay standing. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. Very good. God bless you. If you're watching online, please click on the button on the screen and tell us you want prayer. We want to pray for you. We want to talk to you. God bless all of you. Stand up. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? God knows your life, your situation, your ups and downs, and he's saying, it's all about me and you. It's all about me and you. Let me help you. Let me in your life. Anybody else? Stand on your feet. God bless you. God bless you. Excuse me. Now in a minute, we're going to ask all of you, and there are dozens of you around the room. In a minute, we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. I'm going to ask everybody else as they come down in a minute. We want to encourage them and cheer for them. So right now, if you're standing up, just come up out of your seat and come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down.